this is what he's trying to get across. In other words, it takes all of it. You know, we talk about this, and I know we have several times, and some of you maybe that's been in Brother Alvin's Sunday school class where they've talked about the book of Ephesians. And Ephesians is split up where there's the first three chapters. Emphasis is on the doctrinal. And the last three are on the practical. It's how to live. In other words, it's what the Lord does and for you in those first chapters, who He is to you, what He is, and all of that, and being in Christ, if you will. And then those last three chapters, what you do because you are in Christ. Amen? So you get a good feel of that doctrinal and that positional ideas, and then you got to learn how to make it practical and work in your life. So look here, if you will, though, in chapter number 2, and let's just read, if you will, starting in verse number 1, we'll go down through verse number 10. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and not please them, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Let's have a word of prayer again. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for your word. I pray now just give us direction and wisdom and help through the scriptures. And I pray you'd just stir all of our hearts. Help us to be the servants that we ought to be for you. And may we just give you our attention and our hearts and our thought this evening on the Word of God. Let it just sit within us. Let it do the things that you said that it would. And again, we'll just simply give you thanks and praise for it. Just deal with us. Show us where we can certainly be more Christ-like and some things we need to get out of our lives. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. We're gonna talk about servants, if you will. And that's the subject in verses 9 and 10. Paul says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters. He says, look, there is an issue here that deals with servants. Now, the idea, of course, of the word servant in your Bible, it is that Greek word doulos, which means a slave. It really means a slave. That's the actual idea of that word servant. That, you know, we think of it and we say, well, that's just somebody that does something for somebody. No, these were people that were actual slaves. As a matter of fact, in this day that Paul and Titus and Timothy, all these men lived and were active in church work and church building, idea was that maybe up to one-third of the population in the Roman Empire were slaves. One-third of the population. And that means, man, there's a lot of folks was in trouble. Well, preacher, how do you become a slave? Well, some people were slaves because they had been captives in war. Some of them were there because they were people that had done some wrong things, and they were taken into having to pay some debt for themselves. There were people that were born because they were the child of a slave. They continued in that avenue of slavery. There was a lot of ways for a person to be a slave, and it was a rather common thing. Most of the homes in that day had somebody living in it that served as a slave, as a servant to somebody else. I mean, you know, you and I think about that, and we just Man, we get kind of beside ourselves thinking about that, don't we? I mean, we have a big push and a big thing in our country today, and you even hear people talk about things that happened back in the 1800s, 18 on up to 1865 when the slaves were freed, and there's still folks today that are saying, well, there ought to be reparations for those that were put into slavery. I'm not going to get into all that, and that's your politics and my politics, whatever you want to do. But I want you to understand that slaves were prevalent in this society. There are a lot of folks that were slaves. But can I tell you some things about slaves? Slaves had no rights. Slaves had no privileges. Slaves had no voice in the society that they lived in. I mean, they were really just little more than property to the person that owned them. And if that man wanted to mistreat them, nobody could say anything. If that owner, that master, wanted to sell them to somebody else, nobody could say that. I mean, nobody had any real rights. If you were a slave, buddy, you were just nothing more, as I say, than a piece of property. That's what you were in that day. Doesn't that sound pretty harsh and pretty bad? I mean, boy, where would we be today? I mean, there'd be everybody out marching with us. Oh, free the slave, let's slave. You know, and I mean, that may be right. I guess the amazing thing that you find here in the Scripture is this, that Paul did not really express, that I can find, any opinion about the idea so much of slavery, but he did emphasize the fact to those that were in that position of how they ought to behave. I think Paul realized this ain't a good thing. This ain't a godly thing. This ain't a right thing for people to be slaves. But Paul said, we're in this situation. You know, sometimes in society we get into places and there ain't a whole lot you can do, right? I mean, you're here. Do you know you live in this country and you live and there are laws and there are things going on and there's a lot of stuff you and I just really can't do a whole lot about. I mean, you get to vote, and you get the privilege if you want to run for an office or whatever. You've got all that. But I'm saying there's a lot of things that's already on the books. I mean, you know, just go up somewhere and tell everybody and say, you know, I just don't think I'll pay my taxes this year. Well, that'll go for a little while. You know, them dudes, they have a way of finding you. I mean, there's so much paperwork and so much stuff goes around, so much red tape and involved in all that. Buddy, they'll find you somewhere along the line. You know, that's why they got them commercials on TV now. Do you owe the IRS thousands of dollars? Oh, yeah, buddy. I don't want to owe them because I know they might come visit you or whatever, right? So, you know, go ahead, pay your tax. Even though, well, it ain't fair. It might not be fair, but you know what? That's where we are. Well, it ain't right. It ain't what I want to do. I got you. But it's just like it was in this day with these folks that were enslaved. They were servants, Paul calls them. Hey, they were there, and you got to deal with it. So Paul says, let's deal with the situation that we have. He's already talked to the aged men. He's talked to the aged women. He's talked to the young women. He's talked to the young men. And now he turns himself into this issue and this thought about the servant and their place in the church and in their society. Now today we may look at it like this. We could call somebody a servant as what we might relate to as far as being the employee if you work for somebody. Amen? Yeah, y'all get up in the morning, don't you, if you got to go to work? Get up in the morning, you call and say, hey boss, I don't think I'll be there until about 11 o'clock because, you know, I just think that's the way I want to do it. And all of a sudden, on down the end of that phone, blah, 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 or you might not have a job anymore, right? I mean, you've got to do what those employers have set as the parameters, as they've set the stage and said, this is how we do it, this is when we do it, and this is all of the intricacies of doing it. You got to go by the rules, amen? Well, listen to what Paul says here about these servants. And this day, there are some things that he gives us as far as how servants ought to behave and be seen in their servitude and in the church activities as well. First of all, notice that let's talk about Paul saying that there should be some diligence in our serving. I'm talking about everybody that, and I want to be a servant to the Lord. Amen? Don't you? I want to be a servant, and I want to be a good servant. As a matter of fact, if you go through a lot of the writings that Paul does, he starts out and introduces himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. That's the same word that he's using here. He's saying, I'm a bond servant. I'm a slave. I belong to Jesus, and I'm here for His will, for His bidding, and for the duty that He sets me forth for. That's what I'm supposed to do. Can I tell you something? That I wish that was the way that every one of us that named the name of Christ, that we have the same kind of heart that Paul put into his serving. And first of all, you'll see here that Paul mentions to these that are serving. Look what he says in verse number 9. He says, exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Let's talk about that. Diligent in our service. First of all, I believe you and I could look at that and say this, that Paul is saying you and I ought to be submissive to those that are our masters. And again, if that's an employee-employer relationship, hey, you ought to be submissive unto them. I mean, it says there, Paul uses that word, servants to be obedient unto their own masters. I mean, you and I that have worked for somebody else when we're employed and we're doing something, hey, we're supposed to do whatever the job calls for to be done. Amen? I know today you've got folks that, well, they grunt and grunt and carry on and all that in the workplace. Hey, can I tell you, that's not according to biblical standards. The Bible says here that we're to be diligent. We're to submit ourselves. Well, the word actually that Paul says is obedient. And that word obedient has an idea behind it as far as submission, as far as saying, I'll know my place, I'll fill my place, and I'll do my duty while I'm in my place. Amen? And that's exactly what the job requires. That's exactly what Paul's talking about. I'm just saying, hey, fellas and ladies, when we've got someone that is our master, that is over us, our supervisor, our superior in any way, then we're supposed to have a submissive relationship to them. Amen? I mean, they'll show you the job, they'll teach you the job, they'll train you what you're supposed to do, and then, buddy, your job is to get in there and do that. Submit yourself to that one that is over you, your supervisor. I mean, isn't that the way that most jobs work? They give you somebody that is a superior, and you are the inferior, if you will, and you are supposed to submit yourself to what they tell you. They say, well, I need for you to do this today. And I'm not talking about necessarily that they're being mean to you or they're being, you know, derogatory or putting more on you than you ought to back, whatever it is. Buddy, this is the way that this system worked in this day. These guys, as I said, remember, they didn't have any say-so in this. They had no real voice. When that master told them to do something, hey, they were supposed to be in the middle of doing it right then. Amen? Submission. So I think you and I as Christians, we need to learn the value of submission to our Lord. And that word simply means that you want to be, as he says here, be obedient. You know what that means? That means you say the word, yes, Lord. Amen? You remember when Samuel was a child and he was in bed and he thought he heard Eli calling him. Eli said, well, I didn't call you, and went back to bed. Did it, you know, a couple more times. And finally, Eli says, if you hear that voice again, you just say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Right? That's what he was supposed to do. Can I tell you that's what you and I are supposed to do as servants of our Lord? You and I are to submit ourselves and say, Lord, I'm your servant. What do you want me to do? Amen? Somebody said that you want to hear one of the most contradictory words, or two of the most contradictory words in the Christian life is this. No, Lord. Amen? I mean, you tell the Lord no. Hey, he's not the Lord if you're telling him no. If he's telling you to do something, it's like saying no, boss. That means that person is not the boss. You don't want him to be boss. You don't want him to tell you what. Hey, there's some contradiction there. And I'm telling you, it's the same thing in the Christian life. We're supposed to learn to be submissive, to have submission. Second of all, Paul says you ought to be submissive, but you ought to bring satisfaction in every matter. Listen to what he said. Exhort servants to be obedient under their own masters and to please them well in all things. Please them well. Be well-pleasing unto your master. You know what that means? Well, all that means is that you don't add or subtract to what you're supposed to do. You do what you are told. You know how folks are, well, if I do that, it'll do this and do that. Hey, just forget it. You know what the old army saying is? Ours is not to reason why, ours is but to do or die. Amen? I mean, I remember my daddy talking about being in the military when he was young, and he said, they told us one day, get out there and dig holes. He said, we got out there and we got shovels and we're digging holes and throwing dirt. He said, then they come back over and said, just fill them holes back up. So they picked up the same dirt, put it back in the same hole, tamped it down, and some of them said, well, why'd we do that? And they said, the sergeant or the commanding officer looked at him and said, you don't need to know why, you just need to do it. Amen? And sometimes there are some things that need to be done, and you don't need to. I mean, there's no need. You just do a well-pleasing job. You just get in there and do what you're supposed to do, and brother, submit yourself to the master. I'm telling you, you and I as Christians need to learn how to submit ourselves to the Lord. And when we submit ourselves to the Lord, hey, you won't be asking a bunch of questions about why. Amen. You don't be asking questions about, well, why have we got to do it? I mean, you might do it, but you don't need to do it. You just need to say, yes, Lord, thy servant. Here, I'm ready to go. I'm here, and I'm ready to do whatever you tell me. I'll tell you one of the great stories in the Bible about that. You remember Philip's over in the book of Acts, and he's chapter number 8, he's preaching in a great revival in Samaria. Everything's all exciting. People are being saved. Lives are being changed. And the Holy Ghost comes and says, I want you to go, and I'm going to take you out to a desert area, and I want you to see one little guy out there in the desert. Now, Philip could have said, now, wait a minute. We got a big meeting going on here, and I'm in the middle of preaching, and everybody's expecting me to be. No, you know what he did? He just got up and went. Amen? And when he got there, he found one little Ethiopian eunuch. And he found him reading out of the Scriptures. And when he found him reading out of the Scriptures, he found that he did not understand what he was reading. And he asked him, he said, understandest thou what thou readest? He said, how can except some man should guide me? And buddy, he jumped up in the chariot with him, preached to him about Jesus. The man got saved, and he went on his way. And Philip went on his way. And everybody was happy. Amen. And you know what? I don't see Philip saying, now, Lord, I don't need to leave this because we're having a good meeting. They're taking up good offerings and everything going. No, he just was obedient to the Lord. And I'm telling you, it's the same thing. Satisfaction. There ought to be a satisfaction that you and I provide in all matters toward our Lord and our Savior. He says that you should be obedient and please them well. In all things. Well-pleasing is what the Lord is wanting. I mean, that's acceptable service from me and you. When we do what we're supposed to do, I mean, you ain't done no big deal, buddy. Hey, ma'am, you hadn't done anything out of the ordinary. You've just done what God expected from you. You know what Paul said in Romans 12:1? He tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. He said, what? Which is your reasonable service. You hadn't done anything out of the ordinary. You hadn't done anything to stress or push yourself. You've just done what God's asked you to do. Amen? And that's what he's expecting us to do. And do it well-pleasing unto the Lord. Oh, I tell you, when you do something, don't you want to do a good job of it? Don't you want to do it to please the boss? Don't you want him to say, hey, man, I really am thrilled with the job that you've done? Boy, could you imagine how that when you and I do something for God, and one of these days we're going to stand there before him, and Jesus said that you can stand there, and God's going to look at you, and he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you a ruler over many. Enter into the joys of your Lord. Amen. So that's the idea behind having this diligence. Not only diligence to bring some satisfaction and submission, but diligence to be silent just to maintain things as they ought to be. Look what it says. He says, not answering again. Not answering again. Do you realize you're supposed to do that? And that means don't speak back. Don't be a back talker. Don't speak against those things of your master. You know, we said earlier about Just whatever they say, no, there's no backup. You know what Israel got in trouble for more than anything while they were wandering in the wilderness? Murmuring and complaining. Amen? Brother Ed Ballou said, he scratched his head and he said, I think I pastored that much. Amen? I mean, I'm just telling you, that's the way that a lot of Baptist folk, we got the mastery of the murmuring and complaining and grumbling crowd. Amen? And guess what? Somebody said one time, they said, that's not a spiritual gift. Amen? A lot of folks think, I got the gift of griping. Yeah, well, hallelujah, forget that one. Get rid of it and put it away. Hey, you and I need to be this same kind of person that Paul is asking for. We are to maintain some silence in some place. I mean, we're what it does is it helps you to maintain the witness and a good witness of your Lord. Now, again, we're talking about people here that are slaves. They're enslaved to some master, and as I say, they may not be good to them, maybe doing harsh things or terrible things to them. But you know what the Lord, what the Bible is telling them here, what Paul is saying? He said, look, you just maintain that good and godly witness and keep your mouth under control. Y'all know what? I have trouble with that. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Don't we all have trouble with that sometimes? I mean, man, my mouth wants to get cranked up sometimes. And my daddy-in-law used to say this about one of his sons. He said, you know what? His mouth gets in gear before his brain gets in motion. Amen? And you know what that does? That gets you in trouble right there when you do that. And guilty, I've done the same thing. Right? I mean, listen, I just want you to know, hey, sometimes the better part of any kind of Christian stance and witness is to zip your mouth shut. Now, there are sometimes you do need to stand and talk. And while we're saying that, the idea of this is, as far as being doing what's right and being submissive and being bringing satisfaction, don't ever get into the position, though, where if you're working for somebody, they ask you to do something wrong, ungodly, or immoral. No. There's a line there. I mean, well, let's just fudge these numbers and then let's just do this to somebody over here. We'll charge them this, and don't you tell them we didn't do the work. You know, that sort of thing. No. That's what that's talking about. Hey, brother, that's wrong, and when wrong's wrong, you stand up for what's right. Amen? I mean, there is an area in this of submission and satisfaction and being silent. There are sometimes you do have to stand and say, no, I'm not going to get involved with anything like that. Amen. And I know we've all probably been there at some time in our life, but let me just tell you, friend, hey, you need to, as I say, maintain that witness that you have for the Lord. And, I got to thinking about this, how that we do these things and how that the Lord expects different. And buddy, you and I need to say, God, I'm sorry. I need to stand for you. I need to make sure this is right. And I also need to maintain my witness and my integrity toward that person, whoever it is, that you're trying to be a witness to. Because in this day, these folks were trying to witness to somebody that's lost in the Roman Empire. They were trying to be a godly example. And I know you can read stories if you do some historical reading about some of the slaves during the Civil War, the same thing. They had to maintain it.
And they were saved. They were right with God. And they had to maintain that Christian witness. And they had to do it against some hard masters and some tough times, rough days and the right. But
I'm glad that God always one of those things. As I say, when you stand before Him one day, He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen? So, first of all, He talks about diligence in serving. Second thing I want you to notice that He talks about is dependability in serving. I believe we ought to be dependable, don't you? I believe they ought to be able to count on us. Amen? Now, I know sometimes if you're at a job and you see folks that are slacking. I mean, you see folks that are like, man, when somebody's around, boy, they're putting the dog on. But you let the boss get out the door and they're just like, they just collapse, right? I'm telling you, we ought to be diligent, and we ought to be dependable. We ought to have some dependability in our service. Whether the boss is there, whether anybody's looking, whatever's going on, brother, you and I need to be dependable. Can I tell you, hey, God, you and I don't know. I mean, we understand that He's watching us, but sometimes I think we forget that He is, and you and I act like there's nobody watching us. Hey, you need to be dependable to this world, as I say, in your witness and for the real word and goodness of God. You need to be dependable to the Lord. Amen? Be dependable to Him. I mean, look what He says here. Look in verse number 10. He starts off with a little phrase that says, not purloining. Not purloining. That means don't be involved in theft. And really, the idea really behind that word purloin, it's a word that we've shifted in our language into a word that we call pilfering, which is generally involved in the small things in life. You ever been there? Well, I mean, you know, I'll just take this ink pen. Nobody will miss that. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just a pack of chalk. I mean, it's just a few pieces of paper. I mean, it's just a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And that's the way that we reason our ways into some of the things, right? I mean, you and I can talk ourselves into some justification of the things that we do if we'll let ourselves. But Paul says here, you tell those folks that are servants. Now, again, let me tell you this. In this day when people were servants, they performed a lot of different duties. It wasn't just you think somebody out here in the field having to plow and plant and harvest and do all that. Wasn't it. Some of these folks would go into town and they would run a business for their master. They would be out of the sight, out of the line of sight of everybody else, and everything else was, you know, nobody was watching all the time necessarily, and maybe the master didn't know what was going on. Hey, can I tell you something, friend? You got to realize you get that kind of availability or ability to not have anybody watching you. You could do some things that's kind of shady and underhanded. Amen? But you see what Paul says? He said, we won't. Folks, to look at us as Christians and know that we're dependable. They can count on us, he said, not purloining. As I said, the idea probably of that is being pilfering. It may even be just some small things. But, buddy, I'm telling you, you ought to have enough God about you that you leave that stuff alone. Amen? I mean, do you realize, hey, there's some great examples in your Bible? And if you'll remember, Joseph is the story of how his brothers sell him, and he goes down through all of his troubles and trials, and he winds up at Potiphar's house. And Potiphar has put him in charge. As a matter of fact, Joseph says this. He said, there's not a thing in this household that my master has not left me in charge. He said, I wot not. In other words, he said, I don't know everything that at my disposal. I don't even know myself what all is here before me. There's nothing that's being withheld from me. He said, except for you, lady, you're his wife, and I ain't fooling with you. Amen? I mean, well, she probably, well, he'll never know. I won't tell. You won't tell. He'll never. He said, it still ain't right. Amen? It's still not godly. It's still against the things of God. I'm telling you, hey, he was in charge of everything, but he wanted to give a right account of all of those things. And that's what I'm saying. First of all, no theft. But second of all, same idea. You need to be trustworthy. All of us need to be trustworthy. I mean, if you're giving orders, then, buddy, follow through with your orders. I mean, you need to be as trustworthy as Joseph. Hey, thank God, aren't you glad there's some men like that in the world. When you give them something and you hand them the reins and you give them the leeway, they're able to take it and do it with the thought in mind that they are loyal, that they are following, that they are to be trusted with those things. And that's what Joseph said. You can trust me, Potiphar. Now, I know in the end of it, his wife got him in trouble, got him thrown in jail and all that. But I'm just telling you, friend, he was right with God. Amen? And you know what God did? God saw that. God honored it. And God put him in the place of number two man in the whole nation of Egypt. Amen? Pharaoh elevated him. Pharaoh realized what was in him. Pharaoh saw. Can I tell you, folks will see what you got if you're trustworthy or not. You ever been around folks? And I mean, all of us probably have. I've had them when I work, they say, watch so-and-so over here. You better watch them. You better look out. I mean, I've worked in places in big businesses and small businesses, and there's always somebody. Amen? Now, today we're in such a place where, you know, there's cameras everywhere watching everybody, everything. I mean, isn't that sad? Where you got to watch. I've been in places where they had cameras that watched the cash registers and all those kind of things and watched every little thing that was done because they had to. Amen? They had to. Oh, let me just tell you, man, you could ruin somebody. You could and wind up being in a place of embezzling funds and money. And those things happen. And guess what? If you'll sit down and watch long enough on the news, you'll see it pop up somewhere where somebody gets arrested for embezzlement from a church. Amen? And I hate those stories, don't you? I hate it when I hear those. I've heard them, and I remember a man calling me one time from a church and that I knew, And he started asking me some questions, and I thought, well, where in the world is this going, you know? And he said, well, he said, I'll tell you. He said, our treasurer has done that thing that you think impossible. Amen? And he said, the fellow that was in charge of, you know, he'd say, well, I'm a little short on money this week. I'll just take a few dollars from the church, and I'll pay it back. And probably with good intention to do that. He said, but you know what? That thing got out of hand. He said, and it started out with just wait till next payday or whatever, and things just kind of and rolled on and rolled on. And I thought, my, isn't that sad? But it does happen. I'm just telling you, you and I need to be trustworthy. Trustworthy. I think we need to be as crystal clear as we can be when we're doing whatever we do for God. The way we do stuff around here. You ever got any question about anything, you can see Brother Steve and Sister Lisa. They can show you the books and we can go through whatever. And, you know, that's what we got to do. I mean, you got to be found trustworthy. And that's what I believe Paul is emphasizing here. You remember, there used to be, some of y'all probably don't remember, a long time ago, there used to be an old song Johnny Cash sang about building a car one piece at a time. One piece at a time. He started out, I think the song says he started out in 1953, and he got through in 1973. He said, that's the weirdest looking car you ever seen in your life. Amen? It had one fin on one side, and the headlights, one side had two and one had one. But he said, when you pulled the knob, they all came on. So, but I'm just saying, there are people that'll do stuff like that if you're not careful. You're to be trustworthy. Okay, not only trustworthy, but Paul says this. Look, this thing needs to be tried and tested. Listen to what he says. He says that not purloining, he said, but showing all good fidelity. All good fidelity. That word fidelity has its basis. It is based in the word pistis, which means faith. Faithful. And again, trustworthy, but also being faithful to do what you're supposed to do. Amen? And I like it that we're supposed to be faithful. We should be showing all good fidelity. I mean, do you remember what Paul writes in the book that he writes in Philemon, how he writes about Onesimus, a slave that had escaped, and now Paul was saying, I want you to receive him back, Philemon. I want you to receive him back because he's got salvation, he's right with God, and he wants to be a good servant now, and he's going to come back, and he's going to do right. And Paul said, and if he owes you anything, Paul says, put that on my account. Amen? You charge that to me because I just feel like he's got right with God, and he's going to take care of what he needs to do, and he's going to come back to you. He's turning himself back in, and Don't you mistreat him because of what he's got right, got things right. And now he has been tried and true. And he's going to be, from here on out, he's going to be one that you can trust, one that will be faithful, one that has had a change of heart while he was in his time with me. Man, I'm telling you, aren't you glad when folks do that? I told y'all probably several times, there's a guy out on Sand Mountain that got coming to church. He got saved. He'd come to church, and I mean, he's in the meeting and, you know, whatever. And I'd have people out in the community sometime. They'd come up to me and they'd say, so-and-so a member of your church? And I'd say, yeah. And they'd just kind of shake their head and say, man, I can't believe that. And I said, well, you know, why can't you believe it? I didn't know him from other than being in church. And they said, oh, he used to be one of the biggest drunks. Every thing that went on, every little rowdy thing that happened, every little fight and fuss, and he's right in the middle of it. And I said, but guess what? He ain't there now. Amen. God saved him. God changed his life. He's different now. And brother, can I tell you, when you do that, look what Paul says. He said, you ought to be doing these things. And he says, and showing all good fidelity. You're supposed to show this world that there has been a change, that there is a difference, that you are distinctively different than what you used to be. Amen? And I believe that's what Paul is emphasizing here. You tell them that they need to show that fidelity. Oh, listen, we need folks in this world to see that there's still some faithful Christians. And it don't matter who you are, what's your place in life, what's your station, whatever, that you're a faithful Christian before the Lord. Amen? All right, let's look at this last of all. And I told you this always pops back up, doesn't it? Doctrinal issues. Let's be doctrinal in our serving. Be doctrinal. Look what the Bible says here in the very last part of it. He says, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That word adorn is a real interesting word. The word adorn in Greek is kosmeo. And it's the word, or it's where we get our word, cosmetics. Amen. Ladies, somebody say amen right there. I don't know, me and Liz watched TV the other night, and we was watching them guys and this, you know, putting on whatever, doing whatever. They were advertising something. And she said, they're wearing makeup. I said, okay, I guess they are, I don't know. And they're rubbing in creams, and they're putting on all this stuff. She said, hey, he's wearing makeup. I can tell by looking at him, he's got on makeup. And I know they do that a lot of times. Probably all of our news people and all that, they put on makeup. But you know why they do that? The idea behind the word cosmetics, the idea behind the thought, is that it sets things in order. Some of you ladies say, amen right there. I ain't getting too deep into this, okay? I'll let some of y'all fight that battle, but that's the idea behind it. But it's really, the idea is between kosmeo and chaos, those two Greek words. And the word kosmeo means orderly or fit or moving in a right direction versus chaos, which is disorder and confusion and things moving in a wrong order. And that's the fact. So you see what Paul is saying here is that we should, that they, he's talking about the servants, that they should adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. He's saying, look, here's what it is. First of all, by the way that you're behaving, by the way that you're orderly, by the way that your life is fitting together, you should be highlighting the doctrine of this Bible. Amen? You and I, in our life, we ought to highlight the doctrine. When people see you walking and they hear you talking, they ought to say, I can tell that person is right with God. There is something different about them because of the way that they even talk and they convey themselves, their deportment, the way that they stand before the world as they go out and face. Hey, they know there's something different about you. Have you ever had anybody say that to you? They just look at you and they say, you know, there's something about you. I just don't know what it is, man. And you all just write back and say, it's because I'm saved. And I'm not trying to hi-hat and try to, you know, lift my nose up and pride. But I'm just saying, you ought to look and be different because you're saved. You ought to be different than this world, amen. You ought to highlight your life and your doings. You ought to adorn. You ought to be, fit and orderly toward the doctrine of God. When they see you, there should be something there that is very, very different. So you ought to highlight that doctrine. And then, let me just tell you, through that, there should be some headlights of the showing. Do you see what he said here in the earlier part of verse 10? He said, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity. You ought to be able to show what your headlight ought to shine and show. Man, there ought to be something there that says, hey, look at this. Look at this guy. Look at this lady. I mean, they should look at you and see that Jesus is in your life. They ought to be able to see you. You have highlighted the doctrine. When you do what you do, the doctrine of God comes out. I mean, you're saying, I believe that Christ is Lord. I believe that my salvation is only in Him. I don't believe there's any goodness in me whatsoever. I don't believe I can make my way to heaven. I mean, get in there. That's Bible doctrine, okay? I mean, people ask you, say, do you really think that Jesus was born of a virgin? Absolutely, unequivocally, yes. No doubt about it. You mean you believe that God created the earth in 6 days? Absolutely. You know why? Because that's what that book says. I mean, doctrine. It's doctrine. The doctrine of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it's in there. I mean, just stand on all those things doctrinally and look, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to highlight that doctrine as you do. But then those headlights, when they come on when the lights are shining on your life, you ought to be showing that stuff. It ought to show in your life that you believe those things and you believe everything else in that Bible. Why? Because you're living what that book says that your life is about. I mean, that's exactly what you and I should be doing. I mean, listen, somebody said this, doctrine inspires your duty and duty adorns the doctrine. Wow, isn't that amazing? I mean, you know, the doctrines that you and I believe inspire us to do, to have the duty, to perform our duties, but then our duties adorn. They show that doctrine. In other words, when people see you out here, they know that you stand for something that is biblical. They don't always quite understand it, but they know you're different. Well, why don't you go down to the bar with us? Because they don't think it's right according to the Word of God. Well, why don't you just come out and have a big night with the boys and we'll go to the honky-tonk. We might go down to the strip club. And your wife don't have to know that. It ain't happening. Well, you're just a weirdo. Yeah, I may be a weirdo. Like I say, I'm a nut, but I'm screwed on the right boat. Amen? Huh? I'm just telling you, friend, there are some things that are, there's just no discussion about them. I mean, we ought to highlight and show these things that Christ is more to us than just a Sunday morning meeting. I mean, just to come together at certain times and sing a few songs and hear somebody get up and scream and holler. Hey, there's more to it than that. That's what Paul is saying. And really, probably what he's saying more than anything is there should be a heart light on the inside of every one of us of His presence. We know that Christ is in us. And it's not just for them to see. And it's not just that we highlight the doctrine. Brother, it's down on the inside of me. And when it's on the inside of me, He's talking to me. He's leading me. He's comforting me. He is giving me something on the inside of me. As the songwriter said, he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I'm his own and the joy that we share as we tarry there. None other has ever known. I mean, there's some things that go on the inside of you. I mean, again, it's good for us to show all this kind of stuff. But man, doctrine is, you know, what I believe. And my duty is how I live. I mean, those two have got to be intermeshed. They've got to be intertwined. And Paul says here, man, that you ought to adorn the doctrine of God. You ought to put on something, and when you put it on, you ought to, man, it ought to show, right? And really, let me tell you this, just in closing this out. The idea of adorning, now we think about, as I say, we think about maybe the cosmetics or the clothing or whatever. The idea of adorning and the Greek idea behind it is this. It is talking about usually pieces of jewelry with a precious jewel that is set in them. And the jewel is, the word adorning means to have that jewel turned or placed in the best way to make an impression on those that see it. To turn it. Just get it in the right way. Y'all ever do that? I know there's been times me and her been stores and whatever, and she'll get her hand up there to do something, and somebody will say, oh, let me see your ring. And then those diamonds will sparkle, and they'll, you know, kind of glisten a little bit, and somebody will want to see that ring. I mean, it's just because it got at the right angle, and look at mine. Did y'all see that? I got one on. It don't shine too much, but hey, it's all right. I got one on. But hers has got those little diamonds in it that just sparkle out and burst out. Somebody sees that and it gets in the right direction. It's noticeable. Can I tell you, when me and you say, you know what, Lord, just let me get in the right direction. Let me say, you know what you do? You reflect His light. And when you reflect that light, man, you can be an influence. You can be a help. You can be a blessing to those that need to know something about Him. Amen? That's what I'm trying to say. In your duty and in your doctrine, those things ought to be intertwined. But you ought to be, me and you, are expected to be a testimony of sound doctrine. We should be a testimony. Are you tonight? While we get ready to sing a song, if you would, Brother Ronnie, come on. We'll get ready to sing a song here tonight. Maybe God spoke to your heart and there's something you need to come and talk with Him about. But, man, we're servants. We're just merely the servants of God. That's all we are. That's all we should be. You know what? That's all I want to be. You know, there's some folks, they'll...